Well, well, here we are.
How can we love our country and not love our countrymen?
I have really nothing to, how do you answer that?
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Hello, you speak English, sir? Parlo usted inglés?
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now here is your host, John Rush.
Actually, it's Andy Pate, party of choice.
That's right, wake up. I like that music. And I'm your host, Andy Pate, filling in for John Rush here on Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. And on the line right now, we have Dr. Patrick Moore, author of Fake Invisible Catastrophes and Threats of Doom. Dr. Moore, how are you today?
I'm very good, Andy. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's great to have you on. And I just want you to know, Fake Invisible Catastrophes and Threats of Doom is probably the best topic for a book since the topic Bible. All right? Yeah, I love it.
Wow.
I love it.
That's high praise. That's high praise, Andy.
I got to be honest. I grew up knowing a lot of environmentalists, the intense kind. By the way, I love the environment. You know, I'm kind of pro-environment. I breathe it in every day. But if there is one group that drives me absolutely crazy simply because they will not listen to any kind of facts whatsoever, it's rabid environmentalists, people who push global warming and all these kinds of things. And, you know, when I see that you've got this book here, this, and by the way, I've seen you on TV. You were part of Greenpeace, weren't you? Weren't you the director?
I was one of the founders, Andy, back in 1971. We sailed a boat to stop hydrogen bomb testing, and then we saved the whales. So we did a lot of good stuff, and I was there for 15 years. I was doing my PhD in ecology when I joined this little group in a church basement in Vancouver, Canada, which is where Greenpeace started. But they went bad on me. They're not environmentalists anymore, Andy. It's not really right to even call them that. Basically, we got hijacked by the political left, and so did the rest of the movement in around the mid-80s. By the time we had gained actual power and financial support, they saw that, and they were actually better at politics than we were, and basically took it over.
Now, why would you say, and I agree with you, obviously they've become a political movement, huge money behind them, and they basically buy a lot of candidates, but why would you say they left you? Because, and the reason I ask this, sir, is that I don't think you left the environmental movement at all. It doesn't sound like you ever did. It sounds like they moved on from you.
Andy, the way I describe it is that, as you say, they left me. I ended up being the only one with a science education on the International Board of Directors of Greenpeace. And they started adopting campaigns like ban chlorine worldwide. I'm going, you guys, chlorine is the most important element for public health and medicine. You can't ban that. And it didn't matter to them. They just wanted to make a new scare story. And also, when
I want to hear the next part, but I don't want you to run on from that. Ban chlorine, and what did you say? You said this is so important for human life. Dr. Moore, isn't that really what's behind them? I mean, it's almost like they see human life as a virus on the planet. It's like they don't care about anything, being an insecticide or chlorine or anything that could possibly benefit human life.
You know, I was just about to say that because that's what happened. When we started, we were trying to save human civilization from all-out nuclear war. That's a fairly humanitarian thing to do.
I agree.
But by the time, about 15 years later, the whole environmental movement was now describing humans as the enemies of the earth, the enemies of nature, like as if we were the only evil species out of the 1.6 million species there are on this planet. And that's way too much like original sin for me. I'm not a fire and brimstone guy. I have a spiritual bent, but I don't go for this thing about we're the only evil thing on the planet. We're part of life, and we're actually a fairly good part of life as far as I can see. We're an amazing species, along with many of the others that are amazing to us. We love the polar bears, and we love the tide flats, and we love the mountains and the forests, and I can't think of a place that isn't wonderful that has life on it. But we're part of life, and there's no reason to be so anti-human is what they came to be, and that's just the worst aspect of them altogether.
Dr. Moran, this may sound a little bit philosophical as a question, but I want you to take a stab at it, okay? How did we become the only species on the planet that feels guilty for being that species? I don't see another species anywhere. I don't see cats waking up in the morning thinking, man, I shouldn't be a cat. I feel that I'm really hurting things. Why are we the only species that does this?
Wow, that is deep. I think it has something to do with a snake and an apple tree were involved somewhere.
I think maybe.
I don't know. You know, I've never understood that myself. I don't feel guilty for being a human being. I've been trying to do good all my life, and so do most people. There's only a very small minority of people who are actually bad in the sense of wanting to harm others and in order to gain for themselves. And most people are trying to be part of the human society and the human family. Most people are good parents. It's just a minority, and right now it's a real minority that pretending that they're the majority who think the world is going to hell in a handbasket. When, you know, I like to say that not one single doomsday prediction since the beginning of civilization has come true, and there have been hundreds of them all through human history. You know how I know that? We're still here, right?
Yes. I've noticed that the oceans haven't risen that much, Dr. Moore.
They are rising now in most parts. Where I live on Vancouver Island, where there was a mile-thick glacier 10,000 years ago, the land is actually rising faster than the sea is. So it appears as though the sea is falling here, but that's because the land is rising, the rebound from the glaciers pushing it down. But in most parts of the world where there were no glaciers, the sea is indeed rising because we're in the modern warm period. It started 300 years ago as we came out of the Little Ice Age, which was a terrible time. It's the cold periods that cause pestilence and starvation and crop failure. The warm periods are much better, and we're in one now, and we should be thankful for it.
Hey, really quick here, Dr. Moore, what would the period be for the Little Ice Age and then the medieval warming period?
Going way back, the Minoan warm period was 3,000 years ago. Then there was a cold period. Then the Roman warm period was 2,000 years ago. Then there was the Dark Ages. Then there was the medieval warm period when the Vikings colonized Greenland 1,000 years ago. And then the peak of the Little Ice Age was around 1600 to 1700. And after 1700, it started to warm. Actually, it warmed faster then for about a 40-year period than it has done ever since. And yet they say this is all unprecedented. The truth is, there is nothing in the weather and climate today that is anywhere near out of the ordinary with the last 10,000 years of this interglacial period in which human civilization has flourished, because it's a warmer period than the glacial periods. But actually, even in this interglacial period, the Earth is still much colder than it has been through the entire history of life. This is a cold period, and carbon dioxide is at one of the lowest levels it's ever been in the history of the Earth. And they're telling us it's too hot and there's way too much CO2. They've got it exactly backwards in so many ways. It's just a fact, and you can find this out by doing research. I don't think people, when they're told these things, ever go and look on the internet or in Wikipedia. Even you can find this stuff. The fact that they're actually pretending the world started in 1850, when actually there was 3 billion years before that, when quite a lot happened during that period.
Wait, there was time before 1850? Now, how can you prove that? Okay, I mean,
you never know it.
Folks, we're speaking to Dr. Patrick Moore. He's the author of Fake Invisible Catastrophes and Threats of Doom, which you will be buying. And by the way, Doctor, how can they buy your book?
It's on Amazon. It just came out as an audiobook, so it's in three forms: a paperback, a Kindle ebook, and an audiobook. And the theme of the book, which I think is an original theme, I call it the unified theory of scare stories. Basically, all the scare stories today about the environment are based on things that are either invisible, like carbon dioxide, radiation, whatever's in GMOs that's supposed to be bad, which doesn't actually exist.
That's true.
Not only invisible, it's non-existent, or very remote, like polar bears and coral reefs, which might as well be invisible to the average person. And so, therefore, we're at the mercy of the activists, the media, the politicians, and the scientists on serial government grants to tell us the truth. But they're not, of course. The truth is that things are pretty good. They're lying to us about this so-called climate emergency. You know, I don't hear any sirens going or people heading for shelters anywhere. The Earth is in a pretty good state right now. And yes, there's extreme weather, but extreme weather is not increasing. Even the United Nations says that, and they're just as bad as the rest of them on some counts, but at least they recognize the truth about that point. But the main thing is that there is no climate emergency. It is a completely made-up hoax, and they are getting governments all around, especially the Western democracies, are adopting, you know, zero CO2 emissions, net zero, and Green New Deals and all this stuff. Basically, they're going to destroy human civilization over a hoax, which is, like, I thought this was the age of enlightenment, but no, it appears as though we're going back into some kind of pagan ritual here in order to save ourselves from something that doesn't even exist.
Unreal. Dr. Moore, I do have a catastrophe, though, for you. I have more questions. Is there a chance I could hold you over the break? Because I want to know, and I'll just warn you in advance, I want to know more about your time at Greenpeace, because I don't hear enough about that. I just hear that you were there. And I also want
to hear.
Yeah, and you're there. And I also want to know more about evidences for the warming period, the ice age, and so forth. Because one thing that I deal with is when I talk about those concepts with people, they say there's no evidence for any of that. Would you be able to hold over the break and give us some of that?
I sure can. Thank you.
Fantastic. Okay, we're talking to Dr. Patrick Moore, and we'll be right back with him first. Extreme Auto Repair. Okay, I get it. You know your auto shop. You know your auto shop. You've been going there for years, and they always give you breaks, discounts, and they claim you need everything they're fixing. How about just once you get a second opinion? These come for free at Extreme with no pressure, and you'll probably find out they're a better deal. So call Extreme at 303-841-1071, or you can find them at klzradio.com.
Go with your gut. You know when an estimate from a mechanic doesn't feel right. Maybe they're telling you to fix a bunch of stuff you didn't even know was broken. Maybe their prices seem surprisingly high. The team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker will give you a second opinion for free, so you know what's reasonable and what's not. They can typically beat the prices of their competitors, but they won't hold it against you if you decide to go back to the first guy. Either way, you have the peace of mind. The team at Extreme Auto Repair wants to keep you safe and keep your vehicle on the road longer, but they never want to pressure you into repairs that you don't really need. So with every estimate, the team at Extreme Auto Repair will give you a priority list showing you all of your recommended maintenance items in order from the most to least important. That way, you decide what you want to take care of now and what can wait until later. Free second opinions at klzradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
Okay, Franktown Firearms is next. Hey, you've been putting off buying a gun. You're always too busy. Well, we now have leaders who want to take that from you. So it's time. No more delay. Go to Franktown Firearms and get $50 off your initiation fee, and better yet, get treated like the free American you were born to be. Go to klzradio.com or call Franktown at 720-770-7777.
You will remember the people who treated you well during nationwide shortages. Franktown Firearms keeps their prices fair and shelves as full as possible because they value long-term client relationships. The team at Franktown Firearms has clients, not customers. Customers come in numbers with dollar values attached. Clients have names. Clients come back again and again because they feel respected. Because they've developed a reputation for reliability among their suppliers, Franktown Firearms has a more consistent selection of guns and ammo available, which allows them to keep their prices at or below MSRP. They continue to offer reasonable prices because they don't just want you to buy a gun. They want you to come back for training, sign up for a membership, practice on the range, and develop confidence with your firearm. Franktown Firearms, where students become friends. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/Franktown for specific pricing on guns and ammo.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush. And on the line right now, we have Dr. Patrick Moore, the author of Fake Invisible Catastrophes and Threats of Doom. And you call them fake, Dr. Moore, because none of them come true.
That's right. If they did come true, we'd all be dead.
Yes.
They're saying it's going to be too hot for life and the world will come to an end. These are the apocalyptic, doomsday, end times type of predictions. They've been happening since the beginning of human civilization. People standing on the street corner with a sign saying the end is near. And on my book, the guy on the front cover is holding a sign that says, you will perish in flames. And it's all the same message. It's like you're going to hell. And it's like baby talk, but so many people get sucked into it. And AOC said it when she first came on the stage there back in the election in 2016, I guess it was. She or maybe it was 2018. I can't remember. She came out and said the world is going to end in 12 or 14 years or something, like with a straight face, as if she really believed that. And I think she probably does believe it. Maybe she's smartened up now a little bit. I don't know. Doesn't seem like it to me. But that's what they say. They say the world is coming to an end. And whenever anybody says that, just ignore it. Because instead of being afraid of it, if you're afraid, you can be controlled by the authorities so much easier than if you stand up straight and tall and right into the wind. Because there's enough hardships in this world, and good things too, of course, but it's a mixture, that you don't need to make stuff up about how horrible everything's going to be in the future. We can't predict the future, but one thing we do know from the past is that humans have survived through all the things that have been thrown at them through the ages, and today is a very peaceful time in comparison to World War II and World War I and going back through the Hundred Years' War and all the things that were happening all through history. This is a pretty peaceful time.
Yes, it is. Okay, but here's a problem, Dr. Moore. Those of us who are out here, like me, we're not as smart as you. Some people are. I'm sure there's some people listening who are brilliant. Not me. I'm just going to say it. My brain is littler than yours, okay? And so when I come up against some of these discussions with people, and I reel off for them certain things about, how they've been measuring the temperature of the earth and so forth. And I can mention how at one point, all kinds of Soviet measuring stations were closed down because of the fall of communism, and that produced a false reading of a higher temperature on earth. I can list stuff like that, okay? But when I talk about the Little Ice Age, and when I talk about the medieval warming period, they don't believe me. They don't believe me. And the reason is they say, hey, man, you didn't have all these modern, satellite, readings and so forth that were making sure of what kind of temperatures we have globally. You didn't have all this then. So everything you're saying about then is wrong. What can we say in response?
Well, there's two ways, and they're similar, to find out what the temperature and many other factors were in the past. For the short term, which I mean for the last hundreds of thousands of years, we have ice cores in Antarctica and Greenland, where you can drill down through the ice. In Antarctica, you can go back 800,000 years, and the bubbles in the ice contain air that was the composition of the air at that time, and there's an isotope of oxygen called oxygen-18 that you can also infer a number of things from. These are called proxies in order to be able to tell you what the conditions were like at that time. Then going back even further, even hundreds of millions of years, ocean sediment cores. It was in 1958 in the geophysical year when ships went out all across the world and took cores of the sediments down deep in the bottom of the ocean, where you have a record of history in those cores with, again, various atomic isotopes that are in there naturally. And also you can see some of the species that were there. And we know the strata. We have a very good idea, actually, of what the temperature was and the CO2 content and many other measurements going back millions and millions of years. We do have that, and you can go on Wikipedia and look for it. I mean, Wikipedia is not much good for things that are political, like they've canceled me a long time ago. But they are pretty good for things that are not political. Like if you want to know about boron or carbon, right, they have a pretty – that's not very political. Right. So they'll tell you about that. And if you want to know about the Milankovitch cycles that govern the glacial cycles that we've been going through for the last 2.5 million years, just that. Just go back 2.5 million years in this Pleistocene ice age and see the changes that have occurred during that time on a regular basis. The ice ages, or more correctly called the glacial maximum periods, have been pretty near exactly 100,000 years apart. Believe it or not, it's because of the gravity of Jupiter changing the shape of the Earth's orbit around the Sun by its gravity, and it comes in 100,000 year cycles. So we have a ton of knowledge about what it was like in the past.
Well, okay, but that's going back much further than they do. So let's keep it a little more recent. How do we know it was hotter in the medieval times and colder during the Little Ice Age that came after?
Well, the best piece of evidence is the fact that the Vikings had colonized Greenland.
Agreed.
In the middle of the medieval warm period and stayed there for hundreds of years farming a big chunk of land on the south. There were thousands of them there. And they abandoned Greenland in the 12 to 1300s as it started to get cold because they weren't able to support themselves any longer. They abandoned it and went back to Europe. And then the Little Ice Age set in, and there was starvation in Europe. It was really, really cold during that period, and as cold as it's been for the last 10,000 years. And the Little Ice Age was, you know, it was one of the coldest periods of climate that human civilization has endured. And coming out of that Little Ice Age, beginning around 1700, long before humans were emitting any CO2 from burning fossil fuels.
Right.
It wasn't until 1850. So for the first 150 years of the warming period, there was no way that we could have been responsible for it. And it has not increased the rate of warming at all during this 300 years since 1700.
Well, Dr. Moore, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Really quick. What I don't understand is how these people can say that we are burning up because of climate change, global warming. They keep changing what they want to call it because it's, you know, because all their predictions are coming false. But how could they say we're burning up when there's no farming on Greenland? Okay, I do believe that, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe global warming is supposed to be global. Okay, like everywhere.
Well,
if we're not farming on Greenland, are we burning up?
They made this term up, global warming.
Right.
But yes, it is warming. It is generally, there is a net warming now on the Earth. It's been happening for 300 years. These go in cycles. The last 3,000 years, it's been approximately 1,000-year cycles from warm to warm to warm and from cold to cold to cold in between them. So we can see that in the record. The Greenland ice cores were really important in getting that understanding. And just look up Greenland ice cores or ice cores in general, again, on Wikipedia, and you will find it goes back 800,000 years, not just a few thousand years, with ice cores. And the people just have to look it up. If people would do their research, but everybody just, I don't know, they read headlines and listen to the fake news on TV, and and accept it instead of saying, I wonder if that's really true.
Well, you know,
because when someone tells you a scare story, especially when it's based on something they can't see for themselves, you'd think they would check it out.
You know, another thing that really bothers me, Dr. Moore, and we'll close with this. I don't hear any evidence, you know, like historical evidence of cooling during the medieval warming period or of heat during the Little Ice Age, right? You only hear the other side. And so that kind of tells me, look, they were pretty uniformly understood at the time. It got too cold to farm on Greenland. That's the bottom line. Okay, life became worse when it was cold. So if it's gotten a little warming over this time, that's just a good thing, correct?
Yes, the warming is a good thing, and so is the carbon dioxide, because it's the food for all life on Earth.
Exactly.
The Earth is greening because of our CO2 emissions. This has been proven by NASA. It's been proven by the Australian CSIRO, which is their top body. You can look that up, too. Just look up NASA Global Greening. And you will see the map of the world showing that the plant life on this world is flourishing due to the additional CO2 that we have put in the atmosphere. Because CO2 was so low in the last million years or so that plant life slowed right down because there wasn't enough CO2. It was like the one missing fertilizer. And now we're putting it back in the atmosphere, and that's putting it back in the oceans, and we're seeing life flourishing more than it did just in the last 20 years, you can see it. So it's there for all to see if they would just look it up and get an easier mind for it and not be scared and not be willing to do what they're told to do because of a fake invisible catastrophe.
All right. Well, everybody, I want everybody to be able to get some answers so they can stump their friends at college around the water cooler, or maybe that rabid environmentalist in your family. They mean well, but their facts are wrong. And Dr. Moore, how can they get your book to do exactly that? Fake Invisible Catastrophes and Threats of Doom. One more time, how do they get the book?
It's on Amazon. All over the world it's on Amazon, but it's on Amazon.com in the States. And it is in a Kindle ebook for a real cheap price. It's also in a paperback with 100 color prints. The Kindle has the color prints with it too. And it's now in an audiobook, and you get a PDF file with the audiobook with all the color in it too. So and the audiobook is read by a very pleasant sounding woman, and it will soothe you as you drive to work in the morning.
I love it. I love the Kindle because you can use those while you're working out, right? You're on the step thing.
Yep.
And I love the audio because you can use those while you're in the car. Perfect. Dr. Moore, thank you so much, and you're welcome back anytime.
Thanks, Andy. I'll take you up on that. All the best.
Outstanding. Take care. Okay, folks, up next is Roof Max, Dave Hart at Roof Max. He did roof repair for years, and he saw how roofs could have lasted far longer at a lower price with treatment. Now he's developed that treatment for you. It really works, by the way. It really does. You can add 5, 10, even 15 years of life to your roof. Call Dave at 303-710-6916, or you can find him on klzradio.com.
Save your roof with RoofMax. Avoid a total roof replacement with roof rejuvenation. Dave Hart with RoofMax in South Aurora will spray a revolutionary soy-based product onto your roof that rejuvenates your shingles, meaning they become less brittle and more pliable. So when a hailstorm hits, your shingles have a better chance of bending instead of cracking or denting. Think about a rubber tire versus a piece of glass. Because this unique, all-natural product only soaks into the asphalt, it won't stain your gutters, and it won't change the color of your roof. In fact, it'll brighten up the color and leave it looking like new. You'll save yourself the cost of your insurance deductible, the hassle of making an insurance claim, and avoid the risk of your premiums going up sooner. Plus, you won't have to deal with the time and mess of a total roof replacement. Roof Max in South Aurora will rejuvenate your roof in a couple of hours. Call Dave Hart now at 303-710-6916. That's 303-710-6916.
Affordable Interest Mortgage with Kurt Rogers. Hey, take some of that equity in your house, turn it into cash, and Kurt can often do it without increasing the cash flow you're paying out. Just call Kurt Rogers at 720-895-0500, or you can go to aimortgage.net. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. Lower your payment and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe too. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where a reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
This happens to me far more than I think it should. Hi, this is Richard Beatty, KLZ 560. I will find a word that applies and form an acrostic that becomes a teachable moment. Today's word, boys and girls, is track. Think of it. I invest in Fitbit to track my steps, calories burned, duration, and miles. I track my money and investments, and I track my projects and my progress. I track my thoughts, responsibilities, and my actions, my creative ideas, and my knowledge. T-R-A-C-K. Integrity is the connective tissue between who I am at home, through my work, and in my community. Are you tracking? Track where you go online. KLZradio.com/accountable.
And welcome back to Rush Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush. And on the line right now, we have Richard Rush. Richard, how you doing today?
Doing well, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well, but hey, before we even get going, can you field a comment and question? We have a caller on the line right now. I don't see a name there. Okay, the caller's name is Mark, and he wants to talk about Aaron Rodgers. Does that sound good, Richard?
Let's go for it.
Mark, you're up.
Hey, I'm from Minnesota.
Hey.
Get Rodgers out of Green Bay, I'm happy, you know. So here's my theory on this deal. He's not coming to Denver. You know where he's going to go?
Where?
He's going to go to San Francisco.
Well, wait a minute. They just got Richard. Jump in.
Doesn't matter.
Mark, the only I would say, even with them drafting Trey Lance, which makes it much less likely, the Packers aren't trading Rodgers inside the NFC. They want to get if they trade him, which we'll talk about here in a second. I think that they trade him outside to an AFC team, which makes the Broncos one of the likelier choices.
Not going to happen.
How come?
Why is that?
Because they don't need him.
What do you mean we don't need him?
You got Teddy Bridgewater. He's going to be good here.
No.
Teddy was good up in Minnesota before he got hurt. And, you know, I got that worthless, and I'm going to watch my language, interesting quarterback up in Minnesota. You know what I call him? The bedwetter.
Oh, that's harsh.
He cost a bit of money there.
I don't even call him Kirk Cousins. I call him Kareem Cousins.
You're mean. Mark, I'm hearing a little bit of Minnesota bias in favor of Mr. Bridgewater.
Oh, yeah, you know what? I grew up in the era of Bud Grant, so you know I'm spoiled.
Oh,
this
yeah.
guy, up at the coach they got up there is good, but Kirk Cousins, I'm sorry, he's a sad piece of work.
Richard, go ahead.
I don't disagree with you, Mark, although I've got to say thank you because the Broncos – we're in on Cousins before you Vikings decided to, you know, give him the basically $100 million guaranteed, and now he's got more guaranteed. And I think Kirk's a really good guy. I just don't think he's worth all that money at this point in time. So just
he hasn't got it in him. In fact, he signed a contract for Pampers. That's what he should be wearing on the field.
Okay. I got to throw a question to Mark, and then Richard, I want you to answer it too. First, Mark, why are you guys so harsh on Kirk Cousins? I mean, he has racked up a lot of stats. Are you basically saying he's just racking up stats, but when it matters, he folds? What are you saying, Mark?
He's got no spine.
No spine. He crumbles in the biggest moments, doesn't he?
He does. Every chance he gets, he has to go change his Pampers.
Well, what if they keep plenty of them on the sidelines?
Well, they'd have to have an industrial load back there on the sidelines. I just can't stand the guy. I grew up with Bud Grant, you know, Tarkington, those guys at my age. But I want Rodgers out of Green Bay because, you know, they got Andy Dalton in Chicago. We got Detroit, so we have a chance to win the division now. Just get Rodgers out of there, and Green Bay will fold.
Probably for a year or two. I agree. I don't think we'd do too well without him. Okay. Thanks, Mark.
See you. Bye.
See you. Bye. That was good. Richard, there's nothing better than a fan who can't stand their QB.
Well, you know, I think there's lots of Bronco fans that are there with them, and maybe not for long here, Andy. I guess we'll see. But, yeah, I think that to Mark's first question, I think the 49ers, Andy, if they were not in the NFC, I think that they probably would have a good shot. But, unfortunately, they are. And, like you say, they just took Trey Lance. I was actually just having this conversation with Walt of what other teams would be in, you know, basically kind of be able to jump ahead of the Broncos, right? Take kind of that, the pole position, let's call it, you know, in the race for Rodgers. And I don't know if there's many. You know, I kind of saw a report today that we would offer Chubb, Bridgewater, kind of to be the, you know, pun intended, bridge for, you know, to Love, and then obviously several draft picks in there. And you're our resident Green Bay Packers expert. What say you to that trade?
Yes. Are you kidding me? You're telling me you're going to give me Bradley Chubb, Teddy Bridgewater, just like I said, for a year while we raise up our kid that we drafted last year, and, you know, Love. And then you're going to give us, what, a couple extra firsts?
Yeah, pretty much.
Done.
It may not even give me a couple, maybe three.
Done. Look, I mean, here's the thing, Richard. First of all, I don't believe at all that Aaron Rodgers cares if our GM is fired. I don't think it means – I think that that's just pushing it. I think he's trying to get – you know, he says he didn't like it getting out there. You and I both know he leaked it on purpose. He wanted it out there. And yep. I think – yeah, you agree on that?
Yep, agreed.
Okay. I think he's doing this and even taking shots at our GM for one reason. He wants out. He wants to come to a team that's ready-made where just, you know, you've heard out with some food, just add water, right? Denver is just add great quarterback. Denver has everything, okay?
And I agree.
Yeah, and so you put Aaron Rodgers here, I literally do not know who's going to beat him. I don't. Chiefs, Buffalo, Cleveland, they're all loaded. I just don't know if they can beat this team if it has Aaron Rodgers. And by the way, because those teams are so loaded, even with Teddy Bridgewater, he's going to rack up a lot of stats because you have so many targets. But in the crunch time, when it matters against those teams, I don't know that he can get you over the hump. I don't think he can. So, hey, I'd be all for it.
Oh, I think, and to Mark's point, I think Teddy is a great guy. I think he's a great man. He's got high character. And honestly, I think he is great. You know, he can carve himself out a Ryan Fitzpatrick role, be a backup, a very steady Eddie type, for, you know, a lot of teams, maybe the bridge quarterback, you know, maybe he is that backup, you know, the career backup. But let's be honest, Andy, there's a lot of career backups, Josh McCown, to comes first of mind, that have made a lot of money just being that solid, old, you know, reliable, steadying force, that he's a guy that can come in and maybe not win you too many games, but not lose you any games either, right? So if you have a guy like a Love, okay, he can mentor him, show him the ways of what it is supposed to be.
Yeah.
And then when he takes over, you can keep him as a backup, potentially, to kind of maintain your system and you know, teach the guys coming up. And then, okay, if Love does get hurt, in this case of the Packers, then he can step in and probably, you know, maintain, right, for a few games to keep your season afloat, possibly. So I am in total agreement. I will say this selfishly. I wish you were the GM of the Packers, because then obviously the deal would be done, and then we would obviously wait to finalize it until after June 1st. And so, Broncos fans, you're going to hear lots of that, of waiting, and that's because the way the salary cap works, and you and I could board, you know, folks with this information, you know, for 2 hours.
Yeah.
But the way the salary cap works is, if they trade him now, all of his money that's slated for this year goes onto this year's cap.
With Green
Bay.
We have to pay that.
Correct. Well, not necessarily paid, Andy, but it hits your cap number.
That's what I meant.
It doesn't save you any money. Yeah, exactly. So it doesn't save you any money and prohibits you from spending more dollars. Now, when you compare that to if they trade him after June 1st, basically you can cut that number in half, spread that hit over 2 years, and you guys are in a lot better situation. And
right.
So that's why I think the conversations are just going to ramp up in the next few weeks. And I think you maybe see something agreed to middle of May, closer to it, because I'm with you, Andy. Aaron wants out. I don't think he necessarily wants the GM fired. And I'll be honest, I think if the team fired the GM, which they won't, I think he would almost look upon that and be like, man, guys, you know, you can really be this easily manipulated, you know, by me just coming out and speaking my, you know, how I feel. And so I think, like you say, it was more of a – he's telling people how bad he wants out. And, again, I've read multiple things. Let's be honest, Andy. Aaron's a weird dude, right? Like, he's just not your typical franchise quarterback, you know, with the old relax. You know, Walt talked about, you know, he's on the Colorado greenery team, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. I just think he is the guy – he's like Carson Palmer, same agent, by the way – where he's okay sitting out the next year or maybe 2 years if they don't trade him. And that's why I think the Packers really have to look at it and say, man, should we trade this guy, right? Does it make sense to trade him? Or basically, if we don't trade him and he sits out, we get nothing.
That's the big point, Richard. If they don't trade him and he sits out, they get absolutely nothing. That makes no sense to me. And by the way, I could see you guys offering Jerry Jeudy in a couple firsts. There is no way you're putting Bradley Chubb in there. There's no way. If you do
Andy, if
we don't take it, I'm going to lead a riot at a Lambeau Field.
I would actually more because Aaron needs and wants weapons. So if you keep Sutton and Jeudy,
yeah,
and
but you
Vance
have so many
all together. I know, but if you keep those guys together, I think you could throw in a Tim Patrick, who's a really good wide receiver, and I think he would pair really well with Devontae Adams.
Yeah.
I think, but I honestly, in my opinion, there's a lot of edge rushers out there in free agency that you can go pick up on a 1 or 2 year deal. And if this happens with Rodgers, well, then you just sign Von Miller to a long term deal, and you're a longer term deal, and basically go after it for the next 3 or 4 years, and you don't care what happens.
Well, and also, here's they're going to change. If you send Chubb our way with a couple picks, edge rushers around the league are going to want to chase a ring, and they'll do it for cheap.
Well, exactly. In the same situation that happened with the Broncos and Peyton happens again. And Andy, I know we got to run to break here in a second. I'll pose this question to you, and you can answer me when we get back.
Okay.
Back, which is, if I told you as a team that you're going to get a franchise quarterback, you're going to have him for 5 years, you're going to go to 2 Super Bowls, win one of them, but then after that 4 or 5 year period, you're going to be in mediocrity for 5 to 7 years. And then, you know, a chance, you know, at that point in time, and a chance to rebuild. And I want you to answer if you take that or not.
Okay, I'll answer that after a break. Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right, next up, Gino's Auto. You know, every auto service place, they all got friends who put good reviews online. But at Gino's Auto Service in Littleton, it's not just a few friends. It's an avalanche. Look for yourself. People just can't say enough about the honesty and quality work they get at Gino's. So call Gino's. That's Gino's with a J at 303-794-6700. Or you can find them at ginosautoservice.com.
Now's the time to take advantage of Gino's Napa Break Special. This month, get a $50 Napa prepaid Visa card with a qualifying Napa Breaks parts purchase of $250 or more. For over 38 years, Gino's Auto Service has been serving Littleton and customers along the Front Range. At Gino's, their team recommends checking your brakes every 5,000 miles. Stop in this week and they'll check your brakes for free. As members of Colorado Select Auto Care, the Gino's team will back up their work with Napa's nationwide peace of mind warranty. To make your life simpler, Gino's offers loaner vehicles so you can drop off your car and pick it up when ready. Gino's continues their public service work, partnering with Hands of the Carpenter and donating work on vehicles for single mothers or women in need. Check out all their Google reviews for a good snapshot of their business. They're AAA approved and located at Bowles and Platte Canyon.
Stop in or visit them online at GenosAutoservice.com. That's Genos with a J.
All right, Bruce Simmons with American Liberty Mortgage. You know, we're always told your house is an investment. But when does that investment pay off? If you're 62 years or older, the answer is right now. Just call Bruce Simmons with American Liberty Mortgage, and he shows you how a reverse mortgage can make your investment pay off. Call Bruce at 303-467-7821, or you can find Bruce Simmons at klzradio.com.
A reverse mortgage with Bruce Simmons puts more money in your pocket. One of the common misconceptions Bruce hears about reverse mortgages is that they're too expensive. But here in the Front Range, chances are good your property value will keep going up even after you get the loan, which means your overall equity may actually increase over time instead of shrinking. Plus, you get the benefit of using a portion of your home's value now instead of waiting until you sell the house. Best of all, FHA reverse mortgages are non-recourse loans, which means they're guaranteed by the government. So no matter what happens to the housing market, as long as you keep paying taxes and insurance, you can never lose the house or pass on debt to your heirs beyond the value of the home. A reverse mortgage puts more money in your pocket. Ask Bruce Simmons now at klzradio.com/reverse. Personalized reverse mortgage expertise. NMLS number 409914. American Liberty Mortgage is an equal housing lender.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Marianne with Brightview Landscaping Services said, "I would just like to say that we really enjoy working with BES. If I need a toner, I just make a call and they send it out right away. If we have any issues with our equipment, which we rarely do, they come out right away and our copier that we lease works very well. I would highly recommend this company to any business that's interested in having great customer service and equipment that works great. If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or need service on equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
And welcome back to Rush Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush, along with Richard Rush on the line. And Richard, you asked before the break, basically, if I were told as a GM, hey, you can have 5 years of a great quarterback, you're going to go to two Super Bowls in 5 years and win one of them, and then after that, you're going to go through a 5 to 7 year rebuilding period, would you do it? My answer is yes, because that's a heck of a 5 years. What do you think?
Right. Well, and my answer is yes, too. And so Broncos fans need to tell themselves, that's basically what you got. Peyton Manning came here, and you had four, really not even five, but four great years culminating in the Super Bowl 50 win, right? And so I think that's that same possibility exists with Aaron Rodgers. So I see a lot of Broncos fans out there saying, well, I'm not sure. You know, that's a lot to give up. Three first-round picks. So this guy's like, you're going to be rebuilding anyways. And Andy, right, ideally, with Aaron Rodgers as our quarterback, we're really not going to be picking early in the first round, right?
Right.
We're going to be late to the end of the first round.
These are borderline second-rounders. Borderline second-rounders.
Exactly. So that's the ideal scenario. And so I'm with you 100%. I think that the Packers would be foolish to not do it. I know a lot of people say your call was bluff, this, that, or the other. You're more of the realistic, which is we probably need to be rebuilding anyways.
Yeah, we do.
Because we've kind of gotten upside down in some different ways with some different contracts and different areas of the team. So why not take a get a head start on it? And if Jordan Love is the guy that everyone thinks he is, then there shouldn't be any issues, right, Andy?
I agree. For us, it's definitely a good thing. We need to rebuild. But only got about – I've done you a disservice here, Richard, because I only got about 2.5 minutes left, and I really want to hear your feelings on the Broncos draft.
I was pleasantly surprised, Andy. I know that there was a few different views on it, but I liked it. I liked all the picks. There was some good, solid depth guys. We've got some good starters. I love that running back out of North Carolina that we received.
Oh, I do too. Hey, what one quick question because I forgot. But you didn't take one of the two premier quarterbacks who were there at number 9. Does that indicate possibly that you're very serious going after Rodgers? Possibly.
Excuse me. Yes. I think yes, and I also think it indicates that the Broncos are pretty high on the possibility of Drew Lock. I've heard some people in sports and in sports media locally say that maybe they're high on Teddy. I don't think they're high on Teddy. I think it's a Rodgers or bust, to be honest with you. And then obviously, you know, we just kind of roll with Drew Lock if the Packers decide not to go. But overall, very happy with the draft, Andy. Mike Surtain, I like the running back. I like the Quinn Miners guy, you know, the gut, the offensive lineman from Wisconsin Whitewater.
He is, is he athletic. What a center!
He's athletic. I think he'll be really good. You know, and I really like it. And Andy, I'd love it if we get Aaron Rodgers, but I really like it even if we don't.
Yeah, and by the way, Meinerts reminds me a lot of Bradbury, the center who went to Minnesota a couple years ago and is doing so well up there. It just seems to me, Richard, you guys finished out your team. You now have perhaps the best set of lockdown corners in the NFL, certainly top five.
We really do. We've got a top-notch secondary. There's still a little bit of work to be done with the linebackers, but I think that a couple of those picks we got, plus we've got another kid coming back that we drafted last year, Justin Strnad, I believe is his name, that broke his hand. So I think he'll be really good. So, yeah, Andy, I'm all for it. I think that it was great, and I think it was a good combination of a win now and then also let's set ourselves up for some depth down the road.
Yeah, I believe Surtain is going to be absolutely dominant at corner. I was impressed. I'll just say that, Richard. I thought you guys did a good job. Who's your GM now?
George Payton.
Oh, yeah, that's right, George Payton. Well, guess what? You did a good job buying him. Good choice.
Very true.
All right. Thanks, Richard. We'll see you on Friday.
Thanks, Andy.
Take care. And, folks, that is it for hour number two. In the next hour, we're going to be talking with Alan Dershowitz, who I love. What a fighter for liberty. And Jason Brodsky. Until then, keep it right here on Rush to Reason, KLZ 560.